9:30, you are listening to Radio Islam International. We're now going to be airing a lecture of Mufti Zubair Bayat, and this was a lecture delivered in Durban, and the topic is aspire to be your best in your studies, in whatever you are doing. Take a listen to that.
My dear brothers and sisters, I have recited a verse of the Holy Quran, and I have recited two hadiths or traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in this verse of the Holy Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. All what has been created on the earth has been created for the benefit of man. Everything has been created to serve man, to make man's life and existence on this earth comfortable, and to fulfill and satisfy the needs of man on earth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed man on earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility to fulfill the needs of man. As we see in the ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There isn't any creation on this earth, but it is the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for that creation. Allah has taken the responsibility, and Allah will fulfill his responsibility. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala undertakes a responsibility, then it is taken, is granted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that responsibility. In fact, Allah has placed such potential in the earth. I was reading an article some time ago that just one country of the world, if that country is properly cultivated, then it is sufficient to feed the whole of mankind. The example was given of Brazil. That if Brazil, for example, as a country, it's a large country, if Brazil's agricultural progress was in line with modern agricultural science and technology, then just one country would be sufficient, would have sufficient food supply to provide the billions of people around the world. That is the potential Allah has kept in this earth. There are many, many treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are hidden beneath this earth. As time progresses, man discovers more and more. Now we find that there's so many deposits of this and that, and offshore and onshore, and so many places there are deposits of minerals that are found. Now they're talking about the gas deposits that are in the Karoo, and they are going to do fracking and take out the gas and so on, because there's billions of tons of gas that are there, and they use that to create jobs and so on. We're not getting into the debate of whether fracking is good for the environment or not, but the point is Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept all the resources. The earth is rich with resources, and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for humanity and mankind their needs. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. All these things are for the benefit of man. If there are food shortages in the world, it is artificial. It is not the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the doing of greedy capitalists who are hell-bent on milking mankind and making sure that they make their profits, irrespective of whether people die of starvation or not. That is not a concern for them. But the important thing is, as long as their bottom line, their profits and their wealth multiplies, that is why they say that the whole economic system of this world at the moment is completely lopsided, and in fact it is defective in every sense, because a tiny minority of people own so much of wealth, and the vast majority of people are living so-called below the poverty line. And this is because the whole economic system is distorted and it is completely flawed. And we see from time to time economic crises coming up, global crises, and we find that there is no answers for these problems. They do not have the answers for all of these problems. Now, who has the answers and where are the answers? Come forward, my dear brother. Sure. Jazakallah. Who has the answers and where are the answers? The fact of the matter is these answers, there's only one place where these answers are, and that is, those answers are by the creator of humanity and mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where has he placed those answers? He has placed the answers in the Holy Quran, because that is the model, that is the manual that he has revealed, the last and final scripture that he has revealed onto this earth for the guidance of mankind and for the solution of all the problems of humanity and mankind right till the day of judgment. So the answers are there in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has got all the answers. The whole economic system, what it should be, the answers are there in the Holy Quran. But obviously, the Holy Quran is not going to spell the answers out like, you know, some notes from a textbook, but it is there in different places as principles, and it is the human effort and endeavor that we go and seek them, we find them, and we apply them, like how Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept treasures under the surface of the earth. We have to dig into the earth to take it out. Allah didn't keep it just lying on the surface, on the top. So like this, we have to dig deep into the Quran, and we have to get right into the verses of the Holy Quran to find the guidance and the principles for the solution of all these problems that mankind is facing. And it is you people, your generation, it is you people who have the answers, the potential to do this. You have the capacity, and this is the time when you should build yourself and develop yourself. As students now, you have the opportunity, you have the time, you have the energy, you have the resources. So don't be a mediocre student. Don't be a student with a narrow vision of just earning, learning for earning. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be learning for earning. But it should be learning for serving. You are learning to serve mankind and to provide the answers and the solutions for mankind that is suffering. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the saviors of humanity and mankind. And we can play that role if we make the necessary effort and we make the sacrifice and we apply ourselves fully, then we can reach that goal. Now, I quoted two hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this hadith that al-mu'minu al-qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah ta'ala min al-mu'min al-da'if. The strong believer is better and more beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the weak believer. The weak believer is also loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not as much as the strong believer. The strong believer is loved very much by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he plays the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to play in this world. And what does it mean by a strong believer? One is to be strong spiritually. That is understood. To be spiritually strong, that is to have strong iman, to have strong faith and conviction. What should be the iman and conviction? That nothing can happen in this universe without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is mighty, he is powerful, he has got beautiful attributes, he has got 99 and more attributes, and all what we see in the world is a manifestation of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world as a place of test for mankind, and we are in a journey in this world, and we have to try to do our best on this journey so that we can be successful when we are presented in the exam hall of the hereafter, and our scripts are marked in front of the the examiner of all of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then at that point our results are issued, and it will be determined then whether we passed or we failed, whether we were successful or we flopped, and that result will be given to us there on the day of judgment. So these are the spiritual aspects that of belief and faith. But a strong believer also should be strong physically. Physically too, we should aspire to be strong and healthy. A strong believer is also somebody who's strong in mind, who's strong in knowledge, who is strong in education. This is one of the greatest areas of strength that a believer should have. And that is why we find that famous statement that says that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So what does it mean when we say knowledge is power? It means that those who have the mastery over knowledge, they have the power. Those people who have the knowledge of whatever fields of science and disciplines of science and technology they are regarded as the people of power. They are the people who control the affairs of things, because they have the knowledge, so they can wield the power. So knowledge is power. Therefore, all of you should aspire to become the best in your field of study, so that you can be a strong believer. You are a strong believer, not just spiritually, but you are a strong believer also insofar as knowledge is concerned. You should aspire to become the leading specialist in your field. You should aspire to become the the experts of your field, that you will be consulted. You shouldn't be content with just studying what is the basic requirements and stop at that point. But in fact, you should aspire to study further, go as far as you can. Alhamdulillah, we went to 2-3 Fridays ago to the campus there at Howard College, and we met our brothers there, and it was very, very heartening that some of our brothers were doing their doctorates in various fields. We met brothers who are doing doctorates in political science and in various other fields. Then we went to Westville campus 2 weeks ago, and there too we met brothers, mashallah, they were doing their doctorates. I met one brother who is doing a doctorate in chemistry. We met brothers there who had completed a doctorate in electronic engineering and so on. So this is very heartening that we are advancing in the field of studies. And we all should aspire, and we should strive, and we should work hard, and we should keep our horizons wide, and we should keep our goals big. Don't have a small goal. Don't work towards a very narrow objective. Have a very broad and wide objective. So you should aspire to become strong, a strong believer as far as knowledge and education is concerned. Then you should become a strong believer morally. You should become a strong believer ethically. You should become a strong believer socially. In every aspect of life, you should be a strong believer. If you are a strong believer socially, it means that your social mannerism, conduct, etc. is the best. The way in which you conduct yourself, the way you come across to people, your people skills must be the best. Your ethical values must be the best. Your service to humanity should be the best. You should not only aspire just to acquire your knowledge and to excel in your studies alone, but you should couple that with community service, activities, with social activities, with service to the community, to the poor, to the needy, to the downtrodden. There are many things that you could get engaged in, involved in. There are many activities that are generated in the community. You could do it privately, individually in your own capacity. You could do it as part of a group. You could do it as part of a formal structure. You could do it as part of an informal structure. There are many organizations out there who are rendering various services. You should play a part. You should set some goals for yourself, that you would like to participate in certain activities. you know, recently we know that there's a huge drought in the country, and especially the rural areas, they have great shortages of water, and people are suffering very greatly as a result of that. We are in an urban setting, so we don't perhaps understand or perceive the suffering of the people in the rural areas who, for every drop of water, they treasure and value. We open the tap, the water comes out, we are happy, we are content. There are people who, their taps have run dry, and every drop of water is precious for them. So our brothers have been working very hard in the field, going out. In fact, this weekend we have some brothers leaving on Sunday, going to Greytown, in the remote areas, the rural areas. They're giving out about 28,000 liters of water. Now this is where you should fit yourself into. You should aspire that as a young person who Allah has given me the energy, the health and the strength, where can I play my part and what role can I play in this field as well? So you are strong all round. You're an all round person of strength, and then you become the most beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shouldn't be one-sided in your approach that, okay, there are some people who just aspire to be very good at sports, but anything else, they are absolutely zero or very little they have. Some people aspire to be academically very advanced, but then in every other sense, they are absolutely weak. Some want to be spiritually strong, but then they are weak in other aspects. So that is also an imbalance. We should bring a balance. We should have a balanced approach in our life, and we should develop ourselves in every sphere of life, and we should try and become strong in every aspect of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us, guide us, and make us realize our full potential. Now, I also want to mention in conclusion that there are various fields of studies. Whilst you are in your field of studies, whatever fields you may be in at this campus, but there are other important fields of studies, and especially the field of Islamic studies is very important. Do not neglect Islamic studies. You can combine your Islamic studies together with whatever studies you are doing. And today there are so many opportunities and options that are open to you. Previously, obviously there were limitations and all of that, but in this day and age, there are no limitations of any sort. You have online studying now. You can enroll online and you can do so many studies online, but provided, very important is that there must be an authentic service provider. Don't just study from anyone, anything. There are many, even in the field of general education, there are many scam operations. There are people who run certain courses and so on, but they are not registered, they are not accredited. So obviously, you're wasting your time studying it when it's not accredited, because you'll gain nothing out of it. So you must apply or get into studies that are accredited. But you should endeavor to enhance your Islamic studies side by side with what you are studying. Don't be content what you may have learned earlier in your life at a primary madrasa and so on, and feel, well, that is enough. But in fact, you should aspire to increase your knowledge, and especially the fields that you are in. For example, if you are in the commercial field, then try to study Islamic finance and Islamic economics, so you have a good idea of a comparison between the two. If you're in the field of medical sciences, then look at Islamic medical sciences and what the Holy Prophet had taught as far as medical sciences, Islamic medical science. If you are in political sciences, look at the Islamic political model and Islamic political guidelines. If you are in the social fields, look at what are the Islamic social sciences guidelines and so on, so that you have a good comparison between the two. And then you can do a combination of both, that we take the best of the both, and what is useless and non-beneficial, we leave it out. The Holy Prophet ﷺ mentioned in one hadith, Al-Hikmatu Dhallatul Mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of the believer. And wherever he finds that, he will grasp it. So, wherever we find beneficial knowledge. It can be in any university, campus or college. We grab that, we adopt that, but we take that which is the best from there and we leave out the rest. The principle is خُذْ مَا صَفَى وَدَعْ مَا كَدُرْ. Take that which is the best and leave out the rest. So these are some important guidelines that I wanted to present to you. Alhamdulillah, we are very happy to be here this Friday. I'm very pleasantly surprised to see the number of our brothers who are present here for the Salatul Jumu'ah. And we hope inshallah that soon there will be a dedicated space for Salah. Brothers are making an effort on that, in that direction. And Jumu'ah is taking place here. It is all for your convenience and to make things easier for you. So our brothers must work together. Work as a team. Work combinedly. You know, be in cohesion in your efforts. And inshallah, if you work together and you utilize these facilities and you can prove that this is something that is required and needed, then inshallah, very soon that facility of the Musalla, we're hoping that that will come through soon. That will be there. You'll have your own space like how they've got at Howard College and UDW. So inshallah, we hope that here at DUT, you'll have your own Salah place and then try and keep it occupied. And brothers come, they read and they study and they have little programs and little classes and things like that. So keep the activities going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.